Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. A congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 348, the stanzas 1, 2, and 6. With joy and gladness in my soul, I hear the call to prayer. Let us go up to God's own house and bow before him there. And what follows? Psalter 348, the stanzas 1, 2, and 6.
Thank you.
portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in 1 Corinthians 5. First, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, a maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. 1 Corinthians 5. It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. And ye are puffed up, and have not rather mourned, that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you. For I verily as absent in body, but present in spirit, having judged already as though I were present concerning him that has so done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when ye are gathered together, and my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Therefore let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. I wrote unto you in an epistle, and not to company with fornicators, yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters, for then must ye needs go out of the world. But now I have written unto you not to keep company, if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator, or covetous, or an idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner. With such a one, know not to eat. For what have I to do to judge them also that are without? Do not ye judge them that are within, but them that are without God judgeth. Therefore put away from among yourselves that wicked person. Let us try to ask the Lord for his indispensable blessing. Almighty God and merciful Father, then in the evening of this Lord's Day, when by renewal we may be gathered in thy house, then we draw nigh unto thee with our unclean lips as poor sinners to come unto and before thee with all our blessings, our needs, our desires, our trials, our troubles, our fears, our concerns, and above all with our sins. Then in this day, thy mercies have been greatly multiplied amongst us and our children, and to that end, also the reasons for thanksgiving have also been multiplied. May we be given to examine each of our hearts. Lord, we humbly ask thee that thou may bless thy word. In the realm of nature, then the seed which has been sown has grown so abundantly. Thou hast given much opportunity already to harvest. Give a heart to acknowledge thee. And may the harvest be finished, if it may be according to thy will. Ah, Lord, remember also thy church, that it does not need to be all the plowing upon the rocks, that the sowers become not overly discouraged, dismayed, disappointed, as sorrowful and sad. The psalmist of old has declared, a handful of corn upon the mountains, and the fruit thereof shall shake as the Lebanon. To that end, the prophet of old has declared, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. To that end, may it please thee to richly bless thy word in this hour and impress upon all of our hearts that the day is approaching of the final harvest of this world, when the sickle shall be cast forth, and when there shall come that separation where the wheat, the sheaves, that they shall be gathered into those heavenly mansions, and that the thorns and the thistles, but also the chaff, as shall be cast into unquenchable fire, and yet where the lost shall never be burnt up, it shall be for eternity, Lord. Wilt thou so work lovingly and irresistibly by thy Holy Spirit, do bless the manifold means of grace in the church. Help the consistory to that end. Do grant many Aaron's and hers. Do help fathers and mothers with their weighty task to instruct their dear children in the aforesaid doctrine. Bless our Christian school when thy word may daily be opened with a calling upon thy name. Wilt thou continue to help the school board, the administration, the teachers, the aides, the bus drivers, all those that labor in our school. We commend unto thee our classes meeting, which is scheduled for this week, together with the prayer service. Wilt thou grant thy special presence, thy favor, and thy help. We commend unto thee our theological school, the instructors and students. They both need to be taught by thee. The persecuted church, wilt thou remember them? Wilt thou uphold them where there have been so many that could not freely go up to thy courts as we and our children are enabled and permitted to do so? May we be given to see the blessing and the privilege, and how long it shall be is known unto thee. Thou hast written in thy holy word that at the end shall become more difficult for those that have not the mark on their right hand and on their forehead. We commend unto thee the Jewish nation. In the midst of much persecution, much enmity and war, oh, wilt thou watch over them, and wilt thou use all these tribulations, that the Jews, that their eyes, but above all their hearts, may be opened, as thou hast declared in thy holy word, to behold and experience that the Messiah has come, and that he sitteth at thy right hand, and from thence he is gathering, defending, and preserving his church. Ah, Lord, remember the different countries where there is war, where there is strife, where there is so much mourning, so much distress, and where they are so overwhelmed. We commend unto thee our mission field, the established congregations, the mission post, thy servant, the team with their families, the husband and wife studying the language, and may it also please thee to provide for that people in Peru. Remember those that translate the scriptures and that bring thy word to the ends of the earth. Bless thy word that may be placed in the hands of the prisoners. Do remember the many temporal needs, the mourning ones, widowers, widows, half orphans, those that have brought children and other dear ones to the grave. Ah, Lord, thou knowest how empty those places are and remain. Wilt thou spare from rebellion? Grant a place at thy footstool, and may the callings be sanctified. Remember the sick and afflicted, the handicapped daughter in the hospital, already such a long time. Remember all under the physician's care in special ways. Wilt thou grant strengthening and healing where it is needed. Remember those that struggle with pain, with weariness of the body, difficulties of the mind. Remember all the crosses and burdens. Remember those that struggle with special temptations and addictions. May it please thee to deliver them. We commend unto thee prodigal sons and prodigal daughters. Remember our elderly ones in the evening of their life. Lord, do remember our poor country that continues on its downward spiral to destruction, where we have left thy word, thy institutions, where the unborn continue to be murdered, Sabbath day desecrated. But may we also remember that thou wast written in thy holy word that the time is come, that judgment must begin at the house of God. O Lord, do grant that there may be repentance of our evil and worldly ways. We commend unto thee our community. O, do work by thy Spirit in the hearts of young and old. Lord, then by renewal we beg of thee for a blessing upon thy word and thy gracious help. Wilt thou bind the devil, give a little rest in thy house, do wonders from heaven, pardon us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name, amen. Psalter 1, the 5 stanzas. That man is blessed who fearing God from sin restrains his feet, who will not stand with wicked men, who shuns the scorner's seat. And what follows, Psalter 1, the 5 stanzas. this evening hour, with the help of the Lord, we wish to ask your attention for our Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 31, the question and answers 83 through 85. Question 83, what are the keys of the kingdom of heaven? Answer, the preaching of the holy gospel and Christian discipline or excommunication out of the Christian church. By these two, the kingdom of heaven is open to believers and shut against unbelievers. Question 84. How is the kingdom of heaven opened and shut? By the preaching of the holy gospel. Answer. Thus, when according to the command of Christ, it is declared and publicly testified to all and every believer that whenever they receive the promise of the gospel by a true faith, all their sins are really forgiven them of God for the sake of Christ's merits. And on the contrary, when it is declared and testified to all unbelievers and such as do not sincerely repent, that they stand exposed to the wrath of God and eternal condemnation, so long as they are unconverted. According to which testimony of the gospel, God will judge them both in this and in the life to come. Question 85. How is the kingdom of heaven shut and opened by Christian discipline? Answer. Thus, when according to the command of Christ, those who under the name of Christians maintain doctrines and practices inconsistent therewith and will not, after having been often brotherly admonished, renounce their errors and wicked course of life, are complained of to the church or to those who were thereunto appointed by the church. And if they despise their admonition, are by them forbidden the use of the sacraments, whereby they are excluded from the Christian church, and by God himself from the kingdom of Christ. And when they promise and show real amendment, are again received as members of Christ and his church. Lord's Day 31 speaks of the two keys of the kingdom of heaven. Three thoughts. First, the function of these keys. Secondly, the dividing key of the preaching of the gospel. And in the third place, the guarding key of Christian discipline. The two keys of the kingdom of heaven. The function of these keys. the dividing key of the preaching of the gospel, and in the third place, the guarding key of Christian discipline. A beloved congregation, then we have heard on the past Lord's Day that there needs to be a guarding and discipline in the Christian church. And in Lord's Day 31, then it pertained to the desecration of the Lord's Supper. And then in the last question, it was asked, are they also to be admitted to the supper who by confession and life declare themselves unbelieving and ungodly? And then the answer, no, for by this the covenant of God would be profaned and his wrath kindled against the whole congregation. Therefore, it is the duty of the Christian church, according to the appointment of Christ and his apostles, to exclude such persons by the keys of the kingdom of heaven till they show amendment of life. Then those are very solemn words. When the wrath of God becomes kindled against the congregation because of errors of doctrine and because of a worldly life, then what a profound responsibility that each and every member has. We have mentioned last week that in the camp of Israel, because of one man, that there was much distress among the children of Israel. What a solemn thing it is when the Lord withdraws with a spirit from a people. Usually it goes in a gradual way. The prophet Ezekiel, in Ezekiel 9 and 10, then he was given to see that the glory of the Lord removed from the sanctuary between the cherubims and stood on the threshold to depart. Has it ever become your concern, congregation, that we have become such an Achan? There are times in the lives of a child of God when they are given to see their sins, that they are given to examine themselves, that they can feel like such an Achan, and that they are given to beg for mercy. Think of David in 2 Samuel 24, when he has numbered the people. Was because of pride, of course, also a desire to know the strength of his army, but it was clear that there was much pride, a great privilege, that his heart has smitten him very soon, that he became the guilty one. And when he has seen the destroying angel with that stretched out sword, then he was given to confess his guilt, and that he has declared, Lord, what have these sheep done, does not mean that there were not sins among the children of Israel. And to that end, what a responsibility each member has. and that we need to pray to the Lord that the Lord leaves and forsakes us not. When we think of the seven churches of Asia Minor, where they were flourishing churches, where there were many children of God, then the exalted Christ has sent letters to each of those ministers and to those congregations. And then for five of them, that there were faults of falling away, and then there was a calling to repent. And they tell us in this day that the truth is not to be found. When we consider the churches of the Reformation, how many churches there were, different countries, under different names, but the truth according to God's word and according to godliness, and how many of those churches where the truth is no longer found, how many of those churches in our day have closed their doors. And now in this Lord's Day, then it goes about the keys concerning the kingdom of heaven. And when we speak of the kingdom of heaven, then we speak of the work of grace in the hearts of the true children of God. In the second place, referring to the external administration of the covenant of grace in the established churches, and in the third place, the perfection in glory for the people of God. Then concerning the function of these keys, then, boys and girls, you know what a key is. When we consider a door, when you think of your house, then that door oftentimes is locked. And it is true, it is a privilege that we may still live in a country, although so far departed from the word of God, that there may still be respect for authority, that there may be order. There are countries that do not only have a locked door, but that they place a fence around their property to keep from robbers and from murders. And now, boys and girls, you must think along. Why do we now lock a door? That is to keep robbers and thieves out, that they do not come in our house and steal valuables. Therefore, that door is shut. Then the door is opened for friends and family. Thus a locked door that has a double function. And when we consider those keys, we consider a dwelling, we consider a city. Former days the cities had walls, and in Nehemiah we read two times of broad walls. That is so necessary for us and our children, that there are high and broad walls, a clear separation, not a compromising. Then it shall be more difficult for us and our children to climb over that wall. And then in those cities, there were gates, that were locked. And then, of course, it is a terrible thing when there would be a traitor. It's much worse than all those enemies. When there would be a traitor in that city that had connection with the enemy, that told them the secrets of the city concerning the strength of the army, and that such a traitor would have a key, and that he would open the door of the city and let some enemies in. Then it is so important that in a congregation that we are united concerning the old truths and the old ways, as I read in Jeremiah 6, verse 16. And now concerning those keys, then we read in Matthew 16, verse 19, and that was spoken to Peter together with the disciples, I will give thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And in Revelations 1 verse 18, then Christ has spoken, who was dead and is alive forevermore, I have the keys of hell and of death. And oftentimes it happened in biblical times that when an owner, when he would leave on a journey to a great distance, then he had a right-hand man whom he gave that key, who had the authority of the opening of a door and of a gate. Of course, when that man received that key, it did not make him the owner of that house and estate, but a great responsibility. And so Christ, concerning his church, then he has ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of the Father, and then he is given those keys concerning the kingdom of heaven and entrusted them to the office bearers in the midst of the church. Thus, in this evening hour, when we speak of those keys, then we think of a door. And then it is a wonder that it may be proclaimed of a door that may be opened, because in our deep fallen Adam in Genesis 3, there we have closed that door. And I read in Genesis 3, verse 24, that the Lord has placed cherubims with a flaming sword that turned every way, that barred the way to the tree of life. But now in our Lord's day, when it speaks of the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and then it speaks of a door that may be opened. Then Lord's Day 31, that is the last Lord's Day in the part of our Heidelberg Catechism that speaks of deliverance. And then we have heard explain the 12 articles of faith concerning the person and the works of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And then beginning with Lord's Day 25, Then there was spoken of the means of grace, the preaching of the gospel, and the administration of the sacraments. Thus then in the Lord's days 25 through 31, there is spoken of three marks of the true Christian church, which are also explained in our Confession of Faith in Article 29. And then the first, that is the pure preaching according to the Word of God. The second, the administration of the Holy Sacraments as declared in the Word. And the third place, a Christian discipline. Our second thought, the dividing key of the preaching of the gospel. And then concerning that key, there is a difference, because concerning the key of the preaching, then there is first mention, first open, and then shut. But with the key of Christian discipline, then the order is reversed. And now the question is asked, how is the kingdom of heaven opened and shut? By the preaching of the Holy Gospel. And then the answer thus, when according to the command of Christ, that command was given to the disciples and to the church in Matthew 28, verse 19, that the gospel must be preached to all nations. And Paul has written to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 16, woe unto me when I preach not the gospel. And Paul, in Acts 20, verse 21, when he is met with the elders of Ephesus, testifying both to Jew and Greek, repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Thus that key that concerns the means of grace. And when the instructors have spoken of the preaching of the gospel, then it includes all the means of grace. And that concerns the family circle, fathers and mothers with their children, concerning family worship. That concerns the church, and that concerns the Christian school, where that is a threefold cord. I read of a threefold cord in Ecclesiastes 4, verse 12, that it is not easily broken. And then for the strength of the church, then there needs to be a holding on to and a respecting of that old tried truth and the old ways. Because when that is not so, then it shall be the downfall of the church. And now it begins in the family circles. Fathers and mothers, what a profound responsibility to instruct your dear children in the things of the Lord. And in a time that the temptations are so manifold, can be so overwhelming, but let us also remember the manifold privileges that we and our children may possess in a difference with so many upon the face of the earth. And to that end, when it speaks of the keys, of the key of the Word of God, then it is the calling that we diligently use those means, and that also concerns, because when we willfully or unlawfully can leave our place empty during the church service, then we have come to a very low place, and then we are in great danger. Oh, if the devil, together with our reasoning heart, can even convince us that it is not so bad when we unlawfully leave our place empty once, then he has gained much. Oh, hopefully that our conscience will still speak, but perhaps the second time easier. And therefore, we read in Hebrews 10, verse 25, and not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, and much more as ye see the day approaching. It is a great blessing and privilege when the family circles may faithfully come up to God's house on the Sabbath day and during the week. We know there are lawful reasons. The Lord also knows of them. And then it is so needful that it is continually impressed upon our hearts that the Lord gathers his church by word and by spirit. And the Lord has promised a special presence and a special blessing in the courts of the Lord. The Lord has promised that it shall not return void unto him. And now I read in Isaiah 3, the verses 10 and 11, that each needs to receive their portion, that it shall be well with the righteous, and that it shall be ill with the wicked. And now we read, thus when according to the command of Christ, it is declared and publicly testified to all and every believer, then in this Lord's day, then there is a great separation between a believer and an unbeliever. They are also called the unconverted, and publicly testified to all and every believer. Oh, it may be proclaimed that open door, the same when Noah has preached, and when he has pointed the inhabitants of the first world to the ark that was being built, and that there was an open door, and that the Lord would destroy this earth with a flood. Oh, then Noah has preached, then he has begged, then he has beckoned, and then he has told the people that shall they be saved, that they must enter into that door, that there was an open door, there was a place of refuge and of safety, and if they would not enter that door, they would perish. And when we read that history, especially our boys and girls and children, then maybe many times you have thought, what a foolish people that was on that first world. When Noah, as an ambassador from heaven, that ark was being built, many have seen it. Noah has preached, They have even seen many, the animals, they have come. What a wonder that was. And then we would think, many would have come and entered that ark, but there were only 8. How is it with us, congregation? Maybe publicly declared that there is a Savior. He is the door. That gate is of justice. And that door is still open, only for a time. Also, the Ark of Noah came a time that the Lord shut the door. And then it began to rain. And then it was too late. May I ask you, has that door now become necessary? Have we become a seeker? Has that door become precious and suitable for all our needs? Can we find our life concerning the true people of God in the Scriptures? The key to open and to close. And then it is necessary concerning the true people of God that their way is laid out. Needs to be a distinction made between Bethel and Peniel, a distinction between a revelation and the application, and concerning that preaching, because we read in the second part of this answer, those that do not sincerely repent. Thus that implies that those true seekers and finders, that godly sorrow that leadeth to true repentance, a profound knowledge of our sin, the exceeding sinfulness of sin, a missing, a separation, then it is needful that those different encampments are laid out, the struggles, the riddles, the questions, the discouragements, God's word, what an examples we have of the children of God in the way that He leads, and that they are brought to a saving knowledge of the dear Son of God. Then it needs to be laid out, the different encampments, the condition, the necessity to make their calling and election sure, then also concerning the backslidden church, those marks and the need of repentance each time by renewal, that one according to the command of Christ, it is declared and publicly testified to all and every believer that whenever they receive the promise of the gospel by a true faith, Strucker's many times use that true, then also the temporal believer, their life needs to be laid out, built upon a change, feelings and emotions. When we have never become a great sinner in the sight of a holy God, so little impression of His majesty, that whenever they receive the promise of the gospel by a true faith, all their sins are really forgiven them of God for the sake of Christ's merits. But also, on the contrary, when it is declared and testified to all unbelievers. So there we have the separation. Believers and unbelievers. Two peoples. Not three, not four, but true peoples. And in this evening, then we all belong to one of those peoples. And by nature, then we are an unbeliever, unconverted. Oh, may that be as an arrow in many a heart. It's an awful thing to be an unbeliever, that we believe not in God's word, believe not in the Father, trust not in Him, not in the Son, not in the Holy Spirit. We do not believe that we are real big sinners. Of course, we know we are sinners, but not real big sinners, and therefore we do not seek for salvation, and that we do not believe that we shall have to die. But then there shall be some, maybe especially our children, that say, but I know that I have to die. How do we live with it? Oh, I hope that there may be many young and old that live not so easy upon the earth, that they are given to believe that they have a soul that needs to be saved by grace. And now, of course, among the unconverted, not all the same. There are worldly ones. In this morning hour, we have spoken of those that harden their heart. An awful condition. There are those, as that rich young ruler, that do not really believe they are so bad. He went away sorrowful. There are Pharisees who trusted in their religion, under the truth, children of Abram. There are those that trust perhaps that there was a time that they had some convictions, speaking of matters that have happened years and years ago, where they secretly trust. But let us remember that the Lord is not a land of outer darkness. Thus, among the unconverted, also a great difference needs to be laid out. There are those that are so passive and that say they speak very orthodox, is of grace, the Lord must do it, and that is true. But they are so passive that they do nothing. What an easy religion that is, that we do nothing, and that we free ourselves by secretly blaming the Lord. But further, and such, thus unbelievers, and such, because unbelievers, by the grace of God, they become believers, but then they are further described, and such, as do not sincerely repent. Do you have anything to repent of, congregation? Are there matters that you need to repent of? Or are you quite satisfied being unconverted and unbeliever, not as bad as the world? Come to church faithfully. Do not watch pornography. The list can be long. Do we have things to repent of? If we say yes, how is it now with that repentance? Do you know what is necessary for that true repentance? That we experience that sincere, godly sorrow over our sins, that we offend and grieve such a good doing and a just God. And then there shall be a repentance, and then we shall be taught that our repentance is all too short, that it adds absolutely nothing in the balance scale of God's justice, that our repentance need to be repented of, that they stand exposed to the wrath of God and eternal condemnation. What profound words that the instructors have used must be told them, and with the prayer, because we know that the beauties and the glory of heaven, oh, even if it was declared with the tongue of an angel, and there can be spoken of the awfulness of what it shall be in hell, but then we see the necessity of prayer. Lord, come down with thy spirit also in this evening hour, that the simple words may enter the heart, never to leave, and to be given to experience and realize what it is to be exposed to the wrath of that great, majestic, righteous, and holy God under the sentence of death, and that there needs to be a fleeing, that we need to enter that door of the ark that is the Lord Jesus Christ, and there to be saved. And further, as long. That speaks of hope. Speaks of the work of grace. Still in the precious land of the living. As long as they are unconverted, according to which testimony of the gospel, God will judge them both in this and in the life to come. Two peoples declared. And then we do well to closely examine our hearts, because a mistake concerning this matter can be many mistakes made in this world. We have to ask the Lord that he may keep and guide us in all our ways. And then mistakes, they can have profound effect even for a long time, can even be our whole life. And therefore, my young friends, may you be much on your knees, asking the Lord to keep and to guide you. But now a mistake concerning believer and unbeliever. Read in Matthew 25 of virgins. Five of them are wise and five of them are foolish. Let us first sing. Psalter 138, the stanzas 1, 3, and 4. Thus speaks the Lord to wicked men, my statutes why do ye declare? Why take my covenant in your mouth, since ye for wisdom do not care? And what follows? 138, 1 and 3, and if necessary, also 4. The kingdom of heaven, the function, the dividing key of the preaching of the gospel, and now finally the guarding key of Christian discipline. And then this second key may never be separated from the first key. It may never precede the first key, but it must follow upon the same. And now concerning Christian discipline, there are many examples in the Bible. We have read out of 1 Corinthians 5, where there was a member that was living in great sin. And then Paul has written in the last verse, therefore put away from among yourselves that wicked person. And then in verse 5, a very profound statement. And when we have read it together, then undoubtedly the question has been, what did Paul now mean to deliver such an one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh? Then our commentators, it is true, there are some that have spoken perhaps that in the early church that unto the apostles a special powers were given unto them. But the general thought is, when Paul is written to deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, then Paul was given to stress the blessing to be under the proclamation of law and gospel, to be under the prayers of the church. And when such a one would be cast out, then Satan would have a great advantage. Thus, by renewal, especially my young friends, I hope that it may be deeply impressed upon your young hearts what a privilege and what a blessing when in the providence of God you were born under the truth that you have become a God-bearer, baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, that you may be privileged Sabbath day after Sabbath day and during the week to come up to the courts of God's house, where it may be proclaimed that there is an open door. And oh, young and old, that door is so wide that the greatest, the chiefest sinners, with all their sins upon their back, that they may fit through that door. On the other hand, that door is so narrow that nothing of self can enter that door, and greater yet, that the King, because concerning that door, by nature none will come, all may come, but by the almighty power of the King, then some shall come. And now concerning Christian discipline, we know Matthew 18, the verses 15 through 17. That is the responsibility of every member concerning our fellow man. Not always easy, but when there is love and concern for our fellow man, and we are given to see that they are going maybe secretly on wayward ways, on sinful ways that shall be so detrimental, that are breaking the law of God, when there is concern, when there is love, and when we may have a little impression of what sin is, then it shall be our desire and our prayer that with love and humility we may seek out our friend and to try to lay before them their sinful and their wayward ways and to ask them to repent. Then there is spoken of taking a witness, and then there are three steps of censure. Those three steps, many times, we do not pay so much attention to the back of our Psalter, except for the Heidelberg Catechism when we read the Confession of Faith, perhaps the Canons of Dort, but then in the back of the Psalter, then there are written those three steps of Christian discipline with the exhortations, the first, only the sin mentioned, not the name of the sinner, asking for the prayers of the congregation. The second exhortation, I would say people read those exhortations. Then we see what a solemn matter it is. Then the name of the sin with the sinner is mentioned by renewal with admonitions. And then the third, then it shall be announced when there is no repentance that such a one shall be excommunicated. Then in the back of the Psalter, there's also a form for that excommunication. But then there is also the form for the readmittance, first an announcement that objections may be brought, and then if no objections are brought, then such a one, upon repentance, may be readmitted. Reverend Van de Kemp, he has written, when those keys in the church, they become rusty. You know what that means, boys and girls. When we do not use a key, they become rusty. When we use them much, they shine. When they become rusted, it hardens the wicked, saddens the godly, kindles the wrath of God, and tarnishes the luster of God's house. Then what a needful prayer with the psalmist from Psalm 17, verse 5. Hold up my goings in thy paths, that my footsteps slip not. Amen. Let us close. Lord, we may thank thee for another Lord's Day. And then as we come closer to the end of another day, then we need to ask pardon for the imperfect performance of all of our duties, and that our guilt may be pardoned. We may commence another week. Oh, do watch over us in the home, on the way, at work, in school, wherever we are called to be. Keep us from sin, harm, and danger. We commend unto thee the prayer service for the classes. Bring us up to thy house, and wilt thou grant thy gracious help to thy servant. Wilt thou grant thy gracious help at the classes meeting. May it be for the welfare of thy Zion. Wilt thou remember the young people when at the end of the week they may gather round about thy holy word, do add thy blessing. Remember for the coming Sabbath day, we commend unto thee our branch, help the leaders, do bless thy holy word. And remember also the consistory, help the elders, the organist, the doorkeepers, all those that have an active part in the service, and may there be many Aaron's and hers. Bring us now safely to our dwellings. Grant a prayer for one another, dismiss us in thy favor. Pardon us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name, amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 247, the stanzas 1, 2, 3, and 6. O God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, our shelter from the stormy blast, and our eternal home, and what follows. Then the consistory announces, in addition to the announcement this morning, that at the classes meeting, that all confessing male members, that they are welcome to attend as visitors. And on Saturday evening, the young people shall meet here in Pitcher Butte at 7:30 p.m., 247, 1, 2, 3, and 6. Blessing of the Lord, and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.